back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our wise conversations brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. It is Halloween week. Make sure you get some candy for the kids. Don't be one of those people. We come up, knock on the door, give the kids some candy, all right? And make sure you take care of our friends at Wise when you're doing that. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'm not giving out crab cakes as part of my Halloween endeavors, but we will be having crab cakes on Friday at Silver Spring Mining Company. That will be in White Marsh. We're not going to Bel Air. We'll get back up to Harford County soon. We're going to be in Baltimore County in White Marsh on Friday. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We also chatted with John Martin from the Maryland Lottery and Gaming about getting sports wagering together. This is when I don't need sports wagering, because like I didn't think the Bengals had any chance of covering, doing things. You know, you start to get that the lavender glasses on Luke Jones and you get a little full of yourself, and you know, maybe even the kind of confidence that like a Marlon Humphrey would have or that sort of thing, and blow tackles all day. You know, it was such a disjointed effort all the way around. We've talked about the O-line, the D-line, the tackling problems, the passing problems, the running game problems, but then there's just like poor decision-making, right? Like like blowing timeouts and, you know, guys getting out of bounds when they shouldn't be or staying in bounds when they shouldn't be and kicking field goals or not kicking field goals. It's a weird game to be chewing on for the next 2 weeks, Luke.
It really was. I mean, I even go back to the opening drive that the Bengals had. They get down to what, the 39-yard line of the Ravens, and they ran, you know, they threw three straight times, and then, you know, they're punting from the 39, which I hate that. I hate that. You know, why not mix in a run there? You know, one, you can try to get a more manageable field goal, or you try to go for it on fourth down. So I saw the Bengals do that early in the game, and I'm just thinking, okay, Zach Taylor, you know, I mean, he still doesn't get it, you know, a young coach and, you know, that type of thing. But then it was very odd, Nestor. I mean, ultimately, the final score ends up being 41-17. So does it make a big difference in the grand scheme of things?
What good's a field goal going to do you now?
Yeah, right. But yeah, it was just strange. I mean, you look in the second quarter. I mean, you know, the Ravens, they're after the Tucker field goal early in the second quarter, they make the Bengals go three and out. So, okay, it's 3-3. Get the ball. They're on the move. And, you know, they get onto the, you know, get into Cincinnati territory. And you know, they get in a position where Lamar Jackson takes a sack. They, you know, Duvernay's called for the holding, which I know some people had some questions about that. And, you know, they're in third and 23 from the 50. Lamar scrambles for 10 yards. And I get it. It's fourth and 13. But you're at the 40-yard line. And I know it can be tricky kicking in that stadium. But really, you're going to punt there? I mean, instead of, you're not going to at least, I mean, I'm sure they considered it. You know, Justin Tucker wants to try every field goal, but it just felt a little off to, you know, I don't know if you just blame the fact that, you know, they commit the hold and Lamar's sacked and, you know, they're behind the chains. There's no question about that. But it just feels like something the Ravens last year or the year before wouldn't have done, you know, and maybe some of that has to even do with second and long, third and long. In previous years, when your running game is really humming, you can run and you might, you know, you run a play to Gus Edwards and he picks up 13 yards. And before you know it, you're in a position where it's fourth and four. And now you're going to say, hey, we're going to go for it. Or you're in a much, much more makeable territory for a field goal. But I don't know. I mean, we've seen Justin Tucker make from 66. So you're going to punt from the 40-yard line. Okay. Fine. I can listen to the rationale. And then it happened again, what, from the 41-yard line in the third quarter. So, you know, between that, you know, you had the scenario where Lamar Jackson burns the timeout inexplicably. And I understand your quarterback might get caught up in the heat of the moment, but you have coaches that should be drilling into his head, hey, don't burn a timeout here. We're going to be punting. Don't burn a timeout here. You know, the Ravens burn a timeout and then they punt. I mean, do that in the third quarter. I mean, you don't want that. I mean, those timeouts are precious, especially you're in a position at that point. You know, it's a close game. It's a 3-point game. You're going to want that timeout, you hope, late in the game. Again, some of what I just mentioned, when you're not tackling and you're giving up big plays and your offensive line's not pass protecting or run blocking particularly well, those things don't matter quite as much. And you know, I know some people didn't like the challenge. I mean, you know, John Harbaugh's, you know, throwing up a Hail Mary there, trying to, you know, trying to get something to go his way, and it didn't work out. And it was, you know, it was right for it to be upheld. I mean, the ball, you know, the fumble, the ball hit Chase's foot when he was out of bounds. So that means, you know, there's not going to be a recovery there, but just some weird, it was just weird all the way around. And, you know, even go back to, even though that was the drive where Burrow throws the interception or in the end zone, think about that drive. Calais Campbell bats up bats a ball up into the air on third down, and they catch it and get the first down anyway. I mean, it's just weird things happen in that game. As much as we've talked about some of the weird that has benefited the Ravens in some of these close games, and I know this wasn't a close game at the end, there are definitely some strange things that happen, some out of their hands and then other things where you just kind of scratch your head. But I think, you know, again, going back to those two, you know, punts from the 40 and the 41 yard line, instead of trying long Justin Tucker field goals, it really does illustrate how they're struggling in a sense to, you know, stay ahead of the chains. I mean, you get into these third and long scenarios where I'm not advocating going for it on fourth and 15 from the 41 yard line, but I really hate punting there. And, you know, especially, you know, in the one case, the punt went into the end zone. So it's just, they're not able to, again, choppy. The theme that we've talked about at various times this year, despite a 5-2 record. And again, we'll keep reminding people that us talking in this context does not mean the sky is falling. They're 5-2, but it's just, it's not that complimentary style that they've used so beautifully over the last few years. You know, it's just, you know, like more of these, you know, head scratching developments, or, you know, a penalty at the wrong time. I mean, it's just making things more difficult on themselves. So, you know, again, I don't want to belabor those points, because, you know, you end up losing by 24 points at the end of the day. You know, a couple field goals weren't going to make a difference, most likely, but you also don't know. I mean, we talk about the butterfly effect. Something that happens at one point in the second quarter, the third quarter, could completely change the sequence of events after that. So just a weird game in that way as well. And like I said, I mean, just, and you've said it, at the beginning, you know, when we first started talking and breaking this game down, that it's a whole lot of bad, basically anywhere you look. I mean, there are a few bright spots, sure, but.
Well, it's such a different juxtaposition from last week where, you know, complimentary football and four quarters are perfect, and they beat a division leader, and they did it at home, and they got their ass kicked at home, you know, by the quote worst team in the division that isn't the worst team in the division anymore. It's almost a little bit of a paradigm switch. And, you know, I remember when Marvin came in here and beat the Ravens, and it feels like two decades ago, because it was. And, you know, I remember the first time Carson Palmer came in here and Chad Ochocinco's catching balls, and you're saying, whoa, what's happening here with the Bengals? The Bengals have been a real Achilles heel for this organization, and we don't talk about it much, and they ended some seasons poorly against the Bengals during the Marvin era, but they sort of resurrected here during Halloween week, and it's they are the clubhouse leader right now and should be respected as such, because they kicked our ass in our own stadium on Sunday, and it didn't feel fluky.
I mean, again, give them full credit. I mean, they really played a good football game, and they made the plays, the big plays, the Ravens didn't make. I mean, we talked about it. I mean, yeah, they completed passes, and Joe Burrow had a really good game. Don't get me wrong, but there are a lot of yards after the catch. Why? Because you can't tackle. And I mean, that you just can't have that. And on the flip side, now there were some open wide receivers, and we saw Mark Andrews get wide open on a few occasions, although they seemed to do a better job of that as the game went on. But, you know, for the most part, they made tackles, and, you know, they made the plays they were supposed to make. I mean, they held the Ravens to 17 points at home. Doesn't happen very often. So really is a credit to them. And it is interesting. I mean, we've talked so much, and I feel like not so much you and me, but the national media has tried to make the Browns a thing, right? You know, these last couple of years. And look, give them credit. They won a playoff game, and they got as far as the Ravens did last year at the end of the day. So I don't want to be disparaging of them, but it's been such a, you know, it's been set up with, you know, the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger being, you know, so old and over the hill, and, you know, everyone talked about Ravens Browns, and including me, you know, I thought that's what we'd see. But quietly, you look at the Bengals and had the first overall pick last year, and he's better. He's back and healthy, and he's throwing the football really well. They have unbelievable talent at the wide receiver position. And this Ja'Marr Chase kid is as good as advertised. I mean, this isn't a good rookie receiver. This is a really good wide receiver, period. This guy's already proven it. I mean, look at his numbers right now. It's unbelievable through 7 weeks of the season. I mean, this is Randy Moss kind of rookie season he's having right now. I mean, statistically, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be Randy Moss.
Well, and the Ravens are a part of that by allowing 200 yards on Sunday.
They are, but he had a lot of yards going into this week too. I mean, he had a ton of yards. He was what, fourth in the league, I think he was. So he's put up big numbers, but you know, you look at them, that we've talked about the defensive improvement. I think the big question for them, and this will remain the big question for them, is their offensive line. That's still a relative weakness. Give them credit. They figured out and were able to settle down the Ravens pass rush considerably after that first quarter or so. And the Ravens weren't able to pressure Burrow nearly as much as the game went on. But that's the big question for them. But that's the big thing. In this day and age, with young star quarterbacks the way we're seeing, I mean, look at the Arizona Cardinals with Kyler Murray. I mean, the Cardinals, from the time that Kurt Warner had hung it up, I mean, the Cardinals have been terrible. I mean, look at some of the guys they were playing at quarterback. And, you know, you see these quarterbacks. I mean, look at the Ravens. I mean, for years, you know, talking post-Super Bowl 47 with Joe Flacco at quarterback, their offense, I mean, put you to sleep. You know, we don't need to rehash it, but they did. It was boring. They couldn't score points. It wasn't very entertaining.
Second and long led to third and long.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson comes in and everything changes instantly. And it's only gotten better in terms of what he's done as a passer since his rookie year, obviously. But, you know, with the Bengals, because they are the Bengals, because everyone jokes and laughs at the fact that they haven't won a, you know, they haven't won a playoff game since I was in elementary school. I mean, and I'm 38 years old now. But you bring in a star quarterback, everything changes. And we're seeing that for a number of teams around the league right now. I mean, the quarterback play in this league it's really impressive to watch. And that's even with Patrick Mahomes struggling the way he is and the Chiefs struggling the way they are. And I think a lot of his struggles stem from what's going on around him too. But the point is, you have so many star stud young quarterbacks in this league right now. And it's really fun to watch. But even the Bengals, they get that guy, and Joe Burrow looks like he's going to be one of those guys. It changes the complexion of everything for that organization and changes the complexion of the AFC North. And as much as we were anticipating, you know, Lamar Jackson against Baker Mayfield over the course of the season, and look, the Browns got a, you know, they kind of got a gutty Thursday night win. Broncos stink, I get that. But, you know, if they get some of their guys back healthy, I'm not saying that they're not going to be able to make some noise as the season goes on, but it's looking more and more. I mean, everyone kind of just assumed the Bengals would be another, you know, 4-win team, 5-win team. You know, okay, maybe they'll win 6 games if Joe Burrow's healthy and Ja'Marr Chase is a good first round pick, but their offensive line, their defense isn't any good.
Well, the coming off the injury part's the part that would, you know, make me stop.
Sure. Sure, no question.
Because I watched Tom Brady struggle with that. I watched Joe Flacco struggle with that. I watched Carson Palmer. You know, I've watched all Eli Manning. I've watched a lot of these guys struggle after injuries, and I thought, you know, that could derail things. But I wasn't thinking, oh, first place at the bye.
Yeah, oh, I mean, no one was. The Bengals weren't even thinking that. I mean, they you know, they can talk all they want about confidence, and you know, they talked a little bit this week. You know, there was a little. It wasn't quite you know, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed era Ravens trash talk, but they talked a little bit this week. You could tell they're a competent team right now. And boy, they played like it. And you give them credit for that. And not ready to crown them in the same way that no one should have been ready to crown the Ravens after last week. You know, we know that it's a week-to-week league. And look no further than the Tennessee Titans, who blew out the Chiefs, coming off of a short week, beating the Bills. And they lost to the Jets 3 weeks ago. The Jets, who are terrible. So it really does speak to how strange this league is, and that's why we love it. It's why it's great theater every single Sunday, and you know, even Thursdays and Mondays sometimes as well. But you're looking at this the way it sets up right now. I mean, 5-2, Ravens at the bye. Bengals have, you know, the tiebreaker right now. You know, being in first place in week 7 does only means that it's week 7. But you're looking at how this division shakes out the rest of the way. We'll see about Pittsburgh. I'm not a believer in Ben Roethlisberger at this point. I'm just not. I'm watching the same game everyone else is. But still a team that has talent. But you know, you look at the Ravens, you look at the Bengals now. If the Browns can tread water and get some of their guys back, they're not dealing with the season ending variety of injuries like the Ravens are with so many guys. This could be a very interesting AFC North race. I mean, kind of race we haven't seen, maybe not all four. Cause again, I'm still not buying the Steelers in the way that I would have 2 or 3 years ago. But the new kid on the block, Joe Burrow, he sure looked pretty good on Sunday. And let's face it, if it were flipped and we were talking about the Ravens, I mean, think about the Ravens when they went into Seattle 2 years ago and they won on the road. And that was a close game. But you do something where you go into an opponent, that's a clear favorite, and you don't just beat them, you blow them out. People in Cincinnati are excited right now, and they should be, because it looks like they have a pretty good football team. Now, the question will be, as it was talking about this with the Browns the last couple of years when they've had some, some modest success, how do you handle it? And playing well for 3 or 4 weeks is not the same as playing well for 17 weeks. So, that's the big challenge, and health is going to be a big part of it. And you hope for the Ravens' sake, they get healthier and, you get Derek Wolfe back, you get some other guys back. Nick Boyle started practicing this week. We've talked so much about the run game. I'm remiss that I haven't mentioned once that they haven't had Nick Boyle. That's a big deal. He's their sixth offensive lineman. So get some of these guys back, and you hope, fingers crossed, that you don't endure any more of those season ending serious injuries to the wrong guys, because I vividly remember us talking about the aftermath of losing J.K. Dobbins and then Gus Edwards. What did we say about the run game? We thought they'd figure it out, but what did we say? The upside's gone now. You're not going to have that guy where you block for 4 yards and he's going to break a tackle and get 22. You're just not going to get that from these running backs. And maybe they trade for Marlon Mack. Maybe that's something that Eric DaCosta is able to do, but that doesn't mean that that's going to be fixed. I mean, that's where you lose that upside. We talked about it with Ronnie Stanley. Alejandro Villanueva, is he playing okay there for the most part? He struggled on Sunday. I think that was pretty obvious. Lots of pressures allowed, but for the most part, he's certainly been better than he was in week one, but it's not going to be that all pro caliber player that a healthy Ronnie Stanley is. So you lose upside. So you're hoping you gain upside at other positions and other areas of the game, but it's clear they have some areas they need to work on. I think that was obvious, even before Sunday, but a lot of those issues resurfaced after that week respite against the Chargers, where it felt like everything went really, really well.
No complaints for you, right? No practice this week. You got World Series games every night, right? It's perfect for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of weird. I'm not rooting for the Astros, but I really want to root for Dusty Baker. Really want to root for Dusty Baker. So,
he needs to manage a different team then.
Yeah. I mean, it's so tough. I mean, I love Dusty Baker, and I mean, I've never had interactions with him, but I know people who have, and everything you've read about him, I mean, even
more, I have interacted with Dusty. Dusty's been great with me when I,
so I guess, I guess if you look at it from that perspective, root for the Braves, whatever. And if they don't win, you'll hate the fact that the Astros win a World Series, but boy, I'd feel good for Dusty Baker at the very least. And if you don't really have a rooting interest either way, it's okay to root for individuals. That's kind of how I view it. So just hoping for a good World Series. And hey, can we have some games that don't end at 12:30 at night? How about that? Can we have some games that aren't 4 hours long?
How about starting pitchers making it to like the fourth or fifth inning?
Well, I mean, we've seen openers. It's definitely, that's another conversation for another day, but it's not getting better. It's getting worse in that regard. I mean, I still love baseball, but it can be a tough watch at times.
Someone needs to step in here and make it interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm hoping for a good World Series, and hey, I mean, the Braves are a nice story. I mean, a team that, big time injuries, big time losses on the field, and not an overly impressive team. And they take down the mighty Dodgers, and we'll see what they have in store for Houston in the Fall Classic. So should be fun, but yeah, I mean, Ravens, they'll get some work in this week. They'll work a couple days this week before they get some well-deserved rest. And I think a mental break probably would help these guys as well, but a lot of work, but be nice to survey the rest of the league, and we'll inevitably be reminded that you'll see some other weird things happen. Now, the Ravens, I'd still take the Ravens with their issues over most of the teams in this league gladly. And just keep that in mind as much as you're licking your wounds after a 41-17 loss that was pretty darn ugly on Sunday. There's no sugarcoating
it. Number eight still upright. They have a chance. He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. You can find him out on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, all those places. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday at Silver Spring Mining in White Marsh. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're going to be having some fun around here as we get into November. Crab cakes. I got a whole bunch of dates out. I got my Fadley shirt on right now. We're going to be back at Fadley's later on this month, back at State Fair later on this month as well. And we're going to be with the mayor, Brandon Scott, at Coco's in Lauraville a little later on, the 17th of November. We'll be doing that. The whole schedule will be up later on in the week for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'm letting myself play here during a bye week. You'll be having some greatest hits, some fresh conversations, some news, some views, some politics, maybe even a little music before it's all over with. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.